How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hoping to see the light. Your words are like keep holding on. 'Cause it's golden and he is calling you, calling you. You've chosen.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I am super excited to be able to just come with y'all again, to be able to talk about this servant leadership piece. We have been blessed. If y'all been joining in with us, or even if you're tapping in for the first time this evening, the Lord has allowed us to see 3 years on the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. It started just as a simple plan of coaches in the midst of the pandemic and just trying to sharpen one another's iron and to learn and cultivate what it truly means to serve like Christ. And so we have been working on the theme, the fourth quarter, put your fours up, just truly what it means to serve like Christ, especially in this, that's right, Coach, especially in these moments. And we continue to do that with such amazing servant leaders. And tonight, it's going to be no different. I've been blessed to be able to have these amazing, compassionate servant leaders to just be able to connect with. And we've been kind of conversing here and there, messaging, and the Lord knew. He knew when it was time to get them on. Tonight, guys, we have servant leader Kyle Adams with us. So many things to this servant leader. He's a former coach. He's a current deputy AD, educator, author. But more than anything, guys, all the things that I can name of who he is, I told him this on the phone. I've watched him for a while. And just like you know McDonald's because you see the arches, just like you know Nike because you see the check, I know a servant leader because it's a person that's not, he's not watching me watch him. He's just serving. And that's how we connect this. So I'm going to stop talking because at the end of the day, I want y'all to hear from this amazing servant leader. So I want to thank you for your time. I tell every servant leader this. Thank you for your time, because it's the one thing that once it's given, I can't return to you. And I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. We're going to get this conversation started.
Well, Coach Chelsea, first, thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you, but also to be with all your listeners and your watchers and the people who view this important work that you do. You know, watching kind of when you got started and just the different people that you had on and had them, providing them an opportunity to share their faith and just to talk about how faith kind of guides their journey. You know, and I have a lot of conversations with people, but I have to say none has really had me as excited as this one. So I'm really excited to chop it up with you. I've watched all the work that you've been doing and watching how you lead and how you serve. And I just want to commend you on the work that you're doing, you know, because this is important. You know, we don't have very many mediums where coaches can really openly talk about their faith and spirituality. So I salute you, Coach. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that more than anything. And Coach, you know, you've been tapping in for a while along this journey. And like you said, you threw those fours up with me just truly, you know, when I asked God, I said, you know, this is not about me. I tell people all the time, even though you see that little caricature with some three stripes on behind me, this is not about me. It's legitimately being his vessel. And I said, you know, and continue with this, what is the word, right? What is the motive? What is the passion that you want us to kind of focus on as we move forward? And you and I both know, you've been a coach. You are still in the athletic world. You've served in many capacities. And even as a sports fan, you know, when that fourth quarter jumps off in any sport, right? It's just a different intensity. I think even as a fan, it's a different level that you have of anticipation. You kind of sit up in your seat a little bit because you know it's game time, right? And so, of course, in these times, and we're watching the news and we're watching and reading the paper, and we're seeing the climate change, literally and figuratively, right? And so it just for a servant leader and as an individual who was a believer, it was evident when the Lord dropped that in my spirit, what he meant. And sports, I've always said, has been a huge unifier. Just in your passion and whatever God has led for you to speak today, before you open up with any of that, I just kind of want to hear from you a little bit as a person in leadership. Just kind of, we speak about a fourth quarter and speaking about the foundation of your faith and hearing your faith story. Just kind of, how big is that? Like, what does that mean to you as a servant leader, knowing that the fourth quarter is where we are? And how does that change your passion for serving?
Wow. Well, that's a great question. I think it makes you want to be that much more intentional in every interaction, right? When we talk about really modeling what it is, you know, not just for the young people we work with, but our colleagues, our friends, just really being intentional about every interaction it is that we have, that we leave people better than we found them. You know, we never know. I remember C.Y. Charlton Young used to be a Florida State coach at Missouri now.
Yes.
C.Y. always talks about treat people like they're going to die at midnight. Treat people like they're going to die at midnight. Like this is it. And you want to treat people really well because you never know if you'll have another opportunity to engage with them. And you want their last engagements to be positive, to be kind, to be loving. So when you talk about the fourth quarter and, you know, just being certain and sure, you know what I mean? We talk about not turning the ball over, making sure you're catching the ball.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Making sure we're meeting the basketball, you know, just being certain and intentional about every interaction.
I think it's perfect. And I, let me tell you, when I said, wow, and that's how you know how God is just kind of in this, right? I was, bowling has started down here in our high school, and myself, along with one of my colleagues, we coached bowling. And I was at the bowling alley and my phone rung. And I looked down, Coach CY. I'm like, let me take this. Let me see how my guy's doing. He's a servant leader. And I picked up and I said, hello. And he said, Chelsea, hey, how you doing? And we talked a little bit. And it was just a blessing because he was reflecting on being, he was actually one of the first week's speakers.
Okay.
That was just a plan, right? It was, we were doing a plan at that time. And he closed us out. He closed us out in that week with servant leader Willie Simmons, Jessica Kern, Kendra Aaron, Carlos Lachlan. I don't miss anybody. We had Zach, what's my guy? He was at TCC and then moved to some places. But all to say, when Coach CY finished and ended, that was supposed to be it if you aren't a person who allows the Lord to lead. And I remember Willie Simmons and all I'm saying, I don't know what you think, but we're not done with this. And so just kind of reflecting on that. And one of the things that even he said in our conversation that always stands out is just that, you know, Chelsea, continue to lead and serve. How you doing? And just know that I'm praying for you. And it's just amazing, Coach. That's why when I look at people like you and all the servant leaders, in spite of what you all are doing, you know, the mark of a servant leader, the characteristics of a servant leader, he's just taking over a program. And you and I both know he's getting a program ready, recruiting, doing all these things. And you had time to reach out and call to say that.
Yeah.
And that, man, that's why I said, wow, when you said that just 3 hours ago. And then here you are mentioning those nuggets. Yeah. That's God.
Yes, no doubt.
You know, you and I talked a little bit before coming on, and you even mentioned a little bit today before we logged on. And many servant leaders say this, and I'm thankful because I always say, who helps the helper, right? Many people call upon you, I'm sure, to have some type of leadership training and come and speak and do this and all of those things. But it's a rarity when a person can actually get and just speak, you know, come on and speak about their faith. And you mentioned this, you said, my faith is very important to me. My faith journey is special to me. I just want you to take a little time and let us hear, you know, a little bit of that and just kind of that why it's so special to you. You know, talk a little bit about that foundation of your faith and especially how you spoke about the fourth quarter and what that means to you. How did you get there to this faith?
Well, a couple of things. Chelsea, I didn't grow up in the church. You know, we went to church with my grandmother on Easter. We had, you know, Mom would get me a nice suit. We'd go to church with Nana. But I always had a belief. And then as I got older and I really saw just different things that happened in my life that I was protected from. You know, as a child, I got into a lot of trouble. And my mother made a decision to send me to live with my father, which really changed the trajectory of my life. And I was really thankful that I had an opportunity to go do that, because that in turn, I had success and had a good experience. My mother then sent my brother to live with my father, and it helped change his life also. But I think as I was finishing undergrad at Cheney, I really started to take my faith a lot more serious, and just recognizing that God had his hand on my life, and really starting to get into the Bible, right? Really getting into his word. I remember the first scripture that I ever learned. You know, how, so I shift from there to say, it's interesting that we talk about Fred Batchelor, because Fred Batchelor has been a huge impact on my spiritual journey as a coach also. You raised the point about who helps the helper. Right. Mm-hmm. And coaching is a profession that where you give a great deal of yourself, and you're giving and you're pouring, but how do we replenish ourselves? And again, we have to be very intentional about what we're taking in, how we're fueling up. And Fred has always been someone. Fred was the first person to introduce me to the Coach's Bible. By, you know, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And, you know, I talked with you earlier about how I utilize it every day. The devotionals that are in it, I use them to really help shape and steer how I interact with everyone throughout my day, and being mindful that we're all going through different things in our lives. But when we engage young people, when we engage our colleagues, do we want to give them us, or do we want to be open to giving them what God wants us to give? And I think, you know, the way for me to ensure that I'm doing that is to make sure I'm rooted in my Bible and in these devotionals every day. So that's really shaped a lot of my spiritual journey as I move forward. And I'm thankful, Chelsea. I have a 10-year-old son named Mason. And every day before I put him on the bus, I hold him close and I pray over him. And I'm very thankful that that I'm able to do that. With all the things that we see going on in the world, it's important that we cover our children. And so that, those are just some of my spiritual practices, and I consider myself a praying man. There's a book that I would recommend to your audience. It's called Two Chairs, by a man named Bob Bodine. And the premise of the book is about, he would sit down in a chair and he'd have another chair in front of him and he would talk to his father. And I've heard you talk on other episodes about the conversation that we have with our father and getting more comfortable and just talking with him. He knows us, he knows our challenges, he knows our strengths, he knows our weaknesses. He just wants us to come to him with. So Two Chairs is a great read to really apply a practical thing like just talking with your father about everything and watching how he moves in your life. The other thing I would say, Chelsea, is I write things down. And I write down my thoughts. I write down my prayers. I got my journal here right now as we're sitting talking. But really putting things out in the universe, if we put those things out, if we share them, if we speak them, if we write them, they come to fruition. And, I just believe that comes through prayer and it comes through faith. And I want to model that. I want to model those practices, for the people that I come in contact with, for my son, to let them know that. You said something the other day. You said obstacles don't make appointments. That was powerful. Because how do we deal with those obstacles when they come? And these are the tools that we have, and we just have to be willing to use them. So that's, I know, right. I went on a bit of a tangent, but that's kind of my spiritual makeup and how I seek to engage with our Father.
I think it's amazing, and I tell anybody there's no tangent. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works, right? And that's how he moves. And that's why I tell anybody, look, if you want to entertain a conversation with me, and that's why I love this platform, you want to entertain a conversation with me. And when I start thinking, my pastor always say, when I think back, I can't help but thank him, because that's what'll happen, right? I could talk to you about an individual person, and I could probably give you a finite answer as to what they may have done or not done and why I appreciate them for a certain thing. But the goodness of the Lord says this. It's like, I'm going to continuously be able to speak about what he's done, and there's not going to be a period to it, because we drink from a well that never runs dry. He provides, he saves, right? And when you encounter him, you don't want to talk to me about him. if you got somewhere to go. Okay. So don't ever worry about feeling like you went on a tangent. Okay. you know, you've been tapping in, like I said, for quite some time. And this is just a journey of servant leaders from all walks. And like I was talking to Coach CY earlier, and it was, you know, he was saying it's so crazy, you know, just kind of listening to certain episodes. And he said, you know, I recount like, yeah, they were on there. And I laughed and I told him, I said, it's amazing. Cause I still, it's like you all have these involuntary sound bites that just stay in my head after we speak, right? And it's not like they dwell there. They get activated when I see you all move and thrive and succeed, right? For instance, when Coach Yo, shout out to her, beat Stanford to advance to the Sweet 16. Immediately, and I posted it as well, immediately, it's like that sound bite that was in the back of my mind came to the front. And you know her voice, I love her so much. And she did, and she said, you know, pretty much the one who is pretty much equipped is at the mercy of the one who is anointed. And as she was walking by saying good game to every Stanford player and coach, and she turned the corner and the camera got that face just of the excitement and the passion and the fatigue and all of those emotions, that bite hit, right? And I was telling him, I said, it makes me so happy though, because this servant leader piece is big because it's who the individual is all the time. Rather I'm on ESPN, rather I've won an award, rather I lost. Shout out Coach Joni Taylor. This was 2 years ago. And she was scheduled to come on the day after she played in the SEC championship against South Carolina when she was still at Georgia. And I'm a coach. I've been an athlete. And I remember messaging her assistant and saying, if she wants to reschedule, please tell her I totally understand. She responded back. Mind you, I have been communicating with her assistant. She responded back and said, no, I'll be on. And when she came on, she made it a point to say, but see, this is the thing. We have to make sure that in our wins and our losses, as God continues to bless us, we have to continue to do the work, faith and works, faith and works. Those things stick. And so this, I say all that to say, there's no tangent. When you speak about what God has placed in your heart, because it's a soundbite that somebody's going to need, hear, use. They're going to hear even the small things like I hear, you know, as a new mom praying over your son, intentionality, right? Yeah. As he walks into a world that we're paying attention to that is so different, right? Than when you grew up, so different every single day. And so the prayer piece is where I want to go with this, right? And I say this all the time on this platform, and it is for some a huge task. For some, it's nervousness that comes into play. For some, it's a, you know, embarrassment. For some, it's just, I don't even know where to begin, right? When it comes to your prayer life, can you just talk right there and stay right there for a minute about how that builds you as a man, as a professional, as a father, as a servant leader, all walks of life? How does that build you and help sustain you as you move in every capacity?
Wow. I mean, I would say, well, Chelsea, is, you know, I think that there's real power in the sound of our voices and what we speak, and just recognizing, and you know, taking for granted in your coaching, just the words that you use, how you lift people, and recognizing that in the words you use, you can lift or you can, you know, or you can deflate, and being very intentional about the things that you're asking for, and how you ask for them, who you ask for those things for. I think one of the things in our prayer life that we don't do enough, many of us, is we don't pray for ourselves enough. We pray for, you know, we pray, I pray over Mason, and I ask for a lot of things from Mason. I ask, Lord, please keep him safe from hurt, harm, or danger. Let nothing harm him. Keep him safe from anything that would look to do him harm, seen or unseen. I pray for a lot of things over him, his classmates, his teachers, his environment, his spirit, how he interacts with people, but also being intentional about having that same enthusiasm and intention about praying for the things that I know that I want to improve in, that I'm challenged in, that areas that I want to grow in my own life. So I would say, you know, as a man, being able to do that, it really humbles me. But I'll tell you something, Chelsea. I know that I'm very uncommon in the way that I move, the way that I interact, the way that I love on people, the way that I minister to people. And so I pray over those I love, over my son, over this thing that we get to do and work with these young people. And then in the role that I'm in now, I work with an amazing athletic director named Alicia Shields Gadsden, who really allows me to work in my strengths and my gifts, who really trusts me with our student athletes and with our staff. And I know that these things that I've been provided with, they're divine. Like, you know, we think that we're really good or we're great at this. And I'm a mess just like everybody else. But I know it, and I'm working to get better at it every day. And I think that the biggest thing with that is I strive to extend grace to everyone that I encounter, because when we meet people, everybody dealing with stuff, you know. But I think when we extend that grace to other people, that grace is in turn steeped upon us for when we have our challenges, you know, because as good as our intentions are, we make mistakes, we hurt people, we fail. And when we learn to extend that grace to ourselves, because we can be really hard on ourselves, and we learn,
yes, we can
to extend our grace to ourselves, I think that's one of the most powerful things we can model for our children, and for the people that we serve and work with, because this is a world that tells these kids they got to be perfect, right? And for them to see you make mistakes and share those mistakes with them and let them know it doesn't change your outlook, it doesn't change how you feel about them. And then when they make mistakes, you still love them through them. So I know that's a lot, but I think my ability to sit and talk to God, and that's, you know, that's something that you grow more confident in over time. But when you recognize it's your father, you just, you know, I'm thankful that when my phone still rings, Chelsea, it still says mom and it still says dad. And
wow.
When I talk to them. I talk to them like I talk to him. So I would that's what I would say my prayer journey is been really, I've enjoyed it.
I think that's amazing. And again, it's not a lot. I think that it truly, it's not something that, like anything else, I tell my kids, I said, do you wake up and say, okay, how do I breathe? Okay, how do we do this? And they're like, no. I said, right. I said, but you do realize, I remember Hendrix, my daughter was first born.
And I love that name. I wanted to tell you that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And when she was first born, and all infants, right? All newborns and infants, and she breathed really loud. It was very labored, and you know, you're worried. I'm like, is she okay? And that's like, yes, you know, they have to get this thing right. And, you know, learning and doing research and all this, you know, sometimes like she be asleep, and then I'm like, she's in my arms, and I'm like, wait, I don't hear you. And then after a few seconds, then she starts breathing again, because they're learning, right? They're learning how to do that outside of utero. And so I tell my young ladies all the time, I said, it takes repetition in anything that we do. I said, so you don't wake up and say, how do I breathe? Okay, inhale, exhale, inhale. You don't do that. It becomes second nature. You don't stand up and then say, okay, right foot, left foot. Shout out to Jessica Kirkhoff, right foot, left foot. But you don't say right foot, left foot, right foot. You just walk. And just like that, with prayer, with meditation, with your journey with Christ, with leading and serving like Christ and being a servant leader, it is something that requires repetition. I tell people that all the time. It is a, I love how you said my journey to in my prayer life, because that's what it is. It evolves. And is more than anything, the biggest piece you mentioned is it's praying to my Father, right? And so I know one thing. I know if Mason needs something from you, I know if Mason wants something from you, he doesn't say, want to ask Dad, I don't know how to ask him, right? And so that comes with what? You know, knowing and growing and going through this journey of him being your son and you showing up for him. And sometimes the answer is no, but it's no because you know what's best for him. And that's how our Father is. You know, I coach young ladies all the time, and you said this best. Y'all, this was our clip beforehand. I said I'm going to start recording our before live conversations and kind of saving them and doing something with them, because you all dropped some nuggets in it. And it is. And you said, you know, in this coaching life, a lot of times you said we're coaching them and we're making them better and we're, you know, giving them all of these things. But in coaching, we receive a lot from them too. And so, you know, in coaching, you know how it is. Sometimes you have to take them home and, you know, they're riding with you. And when I matured in coaching and mentoring, what I started to realize is that coaches sometimes, and I get it, we're tired. I get it. You get to that house and the parking lot or the driveway is filled. And you're like, well, why y'all just couldn't come get them? But my maturity and recognizing my calling in this started to take those moments as moments of being able to impart wisdom in them, have conversations with them, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's always a difference between the ninth grader riding with me and the junior and senior riding with me, right? That see, they know I just, it's how I was raised. It's how I was blessed with people who, you know, had me and took me home. You're not going to be hungry when you're with me. It's just not happening, right? I'm not saying that you about to go get a steak dinner, but you're not going to be hungry with me, right? And so they know we're going to pull up and we're going to stop somewhere before I take you home. And it's always funny because the ninth grader, I'm like, all right, what do y'all want? Come on, hurry up. I got to get home, you know? And the ninth grader is like kind of looking and nervous and trying to see what everybody else is ordering to dictate and determine what they can ask for. Okay. Yeah. I think you're smiling. I think you already know where I'm going. And so the ninth, I'm like, hey, what do you want? I'll just take it like a chicken sandwich. And I'm looking like, yeah, what you want? It's cool. Like, that's fine. And then the junior seems like, you sure? You finished? Okay, I'll take the number 4. And then can you make it large? And then can I have the cookies and an extra pie? And then can I do this? And all right. And a milkshake. Oh, milkshake. And then two things are happening at once, right? The ninth grader is looking like, I just ordered a chicken sandwich and that's it. How do I recover from this? You know? And then the other portion is the other ones, it's not they're trying to abuse power. They just recognize that over the years, they've asked and I've come through. Over the years, they've needed and I've provided. And so their ability to ask of something for me, not trying to overdo it because they can eat, but recognizing the trust in when they ask me, it came over time. So those things I love, because the same way works when we ask to be filled by Christ. It may turn into Lord help. I don't really know what to say. Just Lord help me. Amen. So then the next thing, I come back and I recognize I asked him for this. I asked him to give me peace. I asked him to show me protection. And then he came through. And so the next time I'm asked, and now before I know it, all through the day, I'm talking to him, which is what he wants, because now I'm used to asking. I'm used to praising. I'm used to thanking. I'm used to spending time. See, they were so used to spending time. It wasn't about me giving. They are around me all the time. So why are they embarrassed to ask me for something they need? And that's how God works when we continue, yeah, like you said, that prayer journey. That's why I love that you put it that way. That's that prayer journey.
I'll say this. You made me think about this, Chelsea.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And I talked to you about the book 12. And one of the things, when I used to coach at Del State, because I coached at Delaware State in 2017, but on my ride to work, Chelsea, I listen to things. I listen to podcasts or audio books. But what I started to do on my ride, Chelsea, is I would talk to God, not asking questions, not asking him to show this to me. I would record them on my phone, these conversations, and I would come back to them months later, and I would, and then you start to see how he may have revealed things to you,
mm-hmm,
or things that you wanted, and you asked him about them, and they didn't happen. And then you later on you found out why they didn't. But just that nurturing that relationship, and really being open and talking and crying out for the things that you don't understand and asking for clarity. I think it's powerful, you know, it's because it continues to show me, that God is real in our lives.
I totally agree. And it's something you mentioned when you spoke of your athletic director at Delaware State. You said something that was actually led me into kind of where I wanted to transition. You said she's a blessing because she allows me to work in my strengths and my gifts. She allows me to work in my strengths and my gifts. And, you know, leadership takes on multiple different terms, but that screams servant leadership, right? You're going to hear Hendrix. There's always a moment where she tries to come be my co-host. So shout out to her. But it's amazing to me because when I think about individuals, especially in athletic professions, I often wonder how we use discernment in not only accepting these jobs and roles, but also remaining in these jobs and roles. So can you speak a little bit about that? Because that was huge.
Ooh.
We've all been in those positions where we don't have the latitude to work in our strengths and our gifts. Sometimes our strengths and our gifts gets us muzzled depending on who our leader is. So can you just talk a little bit about that discernment piece and how you kind of move and how God guides you into those positions.
Chelsea, you cutting with your sharp knife tonight.
Hey, they say iron sharp as iron. So clearly you got some sharpness over there too.
You know, and discernment, right? Like, I think of discernment, you know, when we talk about discernment, I think of discernment in a way like walking down the street and knowing you need to cross the street. Like just knowing in your spirit you need to cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you an interesting story. I used to coach at Delaware State and left Delaware State, spent a year at Arkansas Pine Bluff with Dawn Brown Thornton now.
Servant leader, shout out to her.
Shout out to Coach Brown Thornton. And then COVID. And then I started doing some stuff, My Eyes Bigger Than the Ball podcast and just some different things. But I reached out to Alicia Shields Gadsden about another opportunity. I want her to make a call for me. You know, I talked to her about it. I said, Mrs. Gadsden, I'd love for you to make this call for me. I'm interested in this opportunity. She said, sure, Kyle, I'd be honored. She said, but let me ask you a question. How come you didn't apply for this job here? And I was like, wow. And this is, you know, it's a deputy position. And, you know, I said, Ms. Gadsden, I knew the position was open. I wasn't quite sure what you were looking for. She said, Kyle, I've always thought administration would be good for you. I just didn't know if you had gotten coaching out of your system yet. And the position that I called her about was an administrative position. She said, listen, if you want this, this is yours. Take the weekend, pray about it.
Come on.
If it's what you want, call me Monday. If not, I'll make that call for you. And I really like shut it down. I fasted and I prayed about it. I sought counsel from some really close people to me. And I kind of weighed it all out. And I didn't wait till Monday. I called her Sunday night. And I said, Mrs. Gadsden, I'd be honored to come and serve as your deputy. But you talk about discernment. A lot of times in coaching, Chelsea, and you'll understand this, a lot of people, everybody wants to be a head coach, right?
When you think about in coaching, people want to become head coaches, right? But they're so caught up and enamored with becoming a head coach, they may take a really bad job with unethical leadership, or it's not a good situation. Instead of really taking their time and really asking for what it is they want. When we talk about coaches, there being a difference between being a head coach and having an opportunity to be a successful head coach, right? And I think that's when you start talking about discernment, how we really open ourselves up and allow God to lead us in our interactions and in our movements and in our intention. So I wanted to share that story with you because I really felt like me returning to Delaware State was divine. You know, it was divine. I was called to come back there. So that's really how I really move in my role there. So
I think that's huge. Right? I want to make sure there was no reverb. There we go. I think that's huge because you said something. You said the key piece, I was called. Right? And one of the things I always say, and shout out to Coach KB, she's at Montreat, host of the women's game. She always laughs. She knows I mean it. Yes, she's amazing. I love her. Servant leader. That is family for real. And I always say, and if she were on here, she would say it verbatim with me. If God didn't send it, I don't want it. And I've lived my life so much in a way and in a place where, you know, it's almost like that shoe. I was having this conversation with a mentor of mine a month back, and I love shoes. Anybody that knows me knows that I love shoes. And then it gets bad because I'm literally on both sides. I can do the heel and I can do the loafer and I can do the sneaker. It doesn't matter. I love them, right? And so sometimes, and you know this, sometimes, okay, they may not have an 8.5. They may have an 8, right? And so then you sit there and you say, now this shoe is, I mean, come on now. You know, the man at register is like, look, I'm surprised they even still here. You mean tell me you ain't get the got them post from Nike for these ones? I mean, I got the 8. So what you think? Bring them out. Let me try them on. Now, you know, in your mind, you already know these shoes are not going to fit. Okay? He brings them out. You put them on. They tight. And I'm not talking about the tight because they new. They're tight. And you walk around like your toe like this, right? And you sit there and you say, you know what? I mean, but they bad though. You know what? Let me get them, right? And so you put those shoes on, right? Because you wanted them so bad. And when you first put on, I was like, that's not so bad. I'm going to wear a thin sock. Maybe I won't tie them all the way up. I'll loosen the strings, just knot them. And then before long, over time, what happens? Feet start hurting. You feel the blister forming by the second. And that very thing that looked good in the beginning, right, are leaving lasting impressions and lasting marks and lasting scars, not only in this case on your feet, but on your career and on your spirit, right? And in every moment, all because you decided in your own way, because it looked good, because it appeared to be,
make it work,
that I can make this 8 work. I can make this job work. I can make this position work, right? And just like everything else, you kick them shoes off and you look, and it just, it's not all it cooked up to be. And here's the other portion. You paid the cost and the price on a lot of things just to get something that you don't even need to be in. And that's what I did so often when I didn't seek out Christ a lot. You know, you accept jobs and then your plate gets full and then you get tired. We talked about being busy before we got on. And yes, that just comes with territory. But a lot of times our plate is full, extra full, because we're adding things on that we didn't consult God about. So I've truly gotten to the place. Mm. I don't care if the shoe is what? I wanted those Tiffany Forces. I did, right? But let me tell you something. If it wasn't 8.5, and definitely within my price range, but if it wasn't 8.5, I'm not getting it. And in the same way, in this life I live now, in this place in my life going forward, if God didn't send it, I don't want it. I don't care what it gives me as a title. Is that my assignment? Is that what I was called to do?
Chelsea, you ministering, okay? I got a lot of sneaks upstairs. They look real good. They might have been a size a half too small. I was going to make it work. You ministering today.
Dog. We done all been there, Coach. It ain't just you. I'm willing to bet you. But listen, some of you people that wear a 9 and that 8.5 you picked up because, you know, you felt you could make it work and it didn't. How about you, girl? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no. This is what you say. No, these run different. They run different.
That's right. That's the one. That's the one. But here, okay. It's so amazing you said that. You're talking about me, right? So when we talk about things running different, and I think, and even going down to the armor, David and Goliath, right? That wasn't his armor. It was too big.
Right?
And so when we talk about things running too big and too small, that's what ends up happening when we don't walk in our calling. Then it's, we done took off more than we could chew. I saw this meme and it was so funny. I'm hoping that it was a joke, right? But this lady, she was doing ASL. She's doing sign language. And I'm not proficient, but I know enough to know that she didn't know everything she was signing. She was not aligned with what the man was saying. And the meme said something funny like, when you apply for a job on Indeed that you know you're not qualified for. And so often we're doing that when we move in what we want and not our calling. It's just not the right fit. And so then now, athlete, coach, athletic director, right? Deputy AD, whatever your place is, you fill in where you are. What ends up happening? I'm unhappy, right? I'm frustrated. I'm taking it out on the people I work with. It's my boss, right? It's my coworkers. Ugh, they stress me out. Or could it be that maybe you're somewhere where you're just, it's not a fit? And that doesn't come into anything other than if I seek God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
My God. As we start to kind of round this thing up, there's a few things that I definitely want to hit on before we do get out.
Okay.
You know, two things specifically. The first one, just kind of in this fourth quarter, in this 3-year anniversary series, you know, it's amazing how God aligns what he wants, right? Because again, if he ain't sending, I don't want it. And in this fourth quarter, one of the things that I am seeing that is truly making my heart smile is, much like you said, you know, turnovers are more magnified in the fourth quarter. Mistakes are more magnified in the fourth quarter. But in the same way, there's intensity in the fourth quarter. The pressure comes on in the fourth quarter, right? What we're made of, right? That's why I want to go with this. What that athlete is made of, right, comes in the fourth quarter. Willie Spears was on the other day, and he talked about that MJ, when the books, and he's talking about the clutch gene, right? It's not, of course, a real gene, but it was used to describe clutch athletes like MJ and Tom Brady, right? All these individuals who just come through in a clutch. And when you think about it, I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, in the fourth quarter, I want to be in the game. I don't want to sit, I'll cheer you on, but I want to be in the action. I want to be in the game. And so thinking about that as servant leaders, as believers, as followers of Christ in this fourth quarter, recognizing and understanding that sometimes we brush shoulders with people that may not even know his name, right? And in the mundane or the consistencies of our schedule every day, we fail to realize, you know, do I even know if this brother or sister I rub with every day even knows who he is? Can we talk about the importance of servant leadership in action when it comes to being, as Willie Spears said the other day, recruitment coordinators? Now, you've been a coach, so you've recruited, right? And so when he mentioned recruiting coordinators for the kingdom, ensuring that the people we love most, right, are ready, know who he is, right, for his return.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can you just speak about the importance of that to the believer in this fourth quarter to ensure that the people that we love, because those are ones that are missed, right? I'm not really worried about the stranger or the people that I see out and about and go to church with. It's the people that I see every day. Those are the ones that we miss because we assume. So you talk a little bit about that importance in the fourth quarter of truly being recruiting coordinators for Christ.
You know, that, and when you started, I knew where you were going. you killed me when you called it the recruiting coordinator. But just recognizing, you know, you're talking about the Great Commission.
Uh-huh.
And what we're called to go out and do, and how we share our faith with others. You know, Coach, I really strive to, you know, for me, and it, you know, we talk about it in coaching, we talk about it in leadership, in what we model and how we walk in our daily journey, and how we respond to success and how we respond to failure, and what it is and how we let people see that. Because I think the world can be really cruel and cold. And, you know, when people engage with us, what is it that they see? How do we lead people? When you engage with people, do you elevate them or do you deflate? You know, are people excited about you? And that excitement that they see, is that because of how you allow God to resonate through you in all your interactions and in all your ways? And again, I think it's just so important. You know, and we use coaching and sport as an analogy, winning and losing. But everybody wants to be attached to people when they're winning and they're successful.
Come on.
But it's the true meat and value is how we deal with our failures and our challenges and being transparent and sharing those things with them. Because there are a lot of people out in the world and things that will shame you for your failures, and you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. But how do we lift others? How do we hold our heads? How do we continue to correct ourselves and allow Him to correct us in those challenges, you know, and in those failures? And I think for me, and just through reading and constantly trying to learn and develop, you know, it's cliche, but I never feel like I lose. I feel like I either win or I learn.
That's it.
Right. And being open to that, and recognizing that my failures don't define me. And extending that same grace to others when they have those frailties, even when they come against you or you're at the brunt of that failure, right? How do you love people through those hard points? It's easy to love people when things are going well, but how do you love them through the rough stuff? And I think when you do that, people start to see that there's something very different about you. And they want to know how and why you live and look at mm-hmm. the world in the way that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, because people share their faith different ways, that's that's kind of my strategy, my recruiting strategy, as to how, you know, I bring people closer to, bring people closer to God and their spirituality.
I think that's huge. And even in that last, oh my God, bar that you hit just there. How do you love people through the hard things, through the tough stuff, through the mess, mm-hmm. right? Because here's the thing, I tell people all the time, that's fine. You can be with me, right? Any point that you would like to in the journey. But the people that I am trusted in, leaning on, and appreciating are the ones that not only ride the train, but build the tracks. See, it's different when you're laying those tracks with me and we bled together, we sweat together, you know, we shed tears together, we wanted to quit together, we gave up together, right? I walked away from the tracks and said, do this on your own. We maybe fought a little bit, right? Because when we laid the foundation together, the celebration, you see me at my highs of highs and my lows of lows, right? But when you can love me conditionally through my mess, through my mess, when you can, you know, recognize that what is that thing? Oh, I don't know her name. And if you out there, you hear this, just know I was going to quote you, but I don't remember what your name was, but your message was powerful. Homegirl said, and I quote, and I hope y'all listen to this. Listen, pull your ear in. She said, everybody's not called to be your friend. She said, that's the thing. You get mad. Oh, I can't believe that. And she said, and insert every relationship. Everybody was not called to be your friend. So you're mad because they're not there. You're mad because they think that you needed a minute because you're going through something and they're mad at you because you didn't call and text back within a proper time. Everybody was not called to be your friend. So therefore, when you are going through those messy moments, the one that's called to be your friend is the one that says, come here. No, we're going to pray about this thing. When you're going through those moments and you want to give up, it's not the person that's going to commiserate with you and say, girl, yeah, I know. They a trip. And that, no, they're going to be one to say, shut that down, because you know greater is he that is in you. Come on. And so that person is the one that's called. And so when you can do that, right? Because here's the thing. That's when people sees the God in you most. That's when the light shines the brightest, right? You said it best. Everybody wants to be there when you win. But where I see God the most in people is when I can't pray the prayers for myself, when my mouth can't even move, when my internal thoughts can't even form a sentence to him. And somebody calls out of the blue and says, hey, you were heavy on my mind and I wanted to call and check on you, Coach CY. When people recognize that you literally, they watch you and they say, hey, I don't know what it is, but something just not right today. What can I do? What's up, Mason? He's so handsome. What's up, man? Little servant leader in the making. I love it.
That's Coach Chelsea. We almost done.
Yeah. I promise. Your daddy lead him. We're going to give him back to you. He's so handsome, Coach.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's that person that legitimately can see, right? And that's where that anointing to be your friend, or that anointing to be that servant leader comes in. There are some people I don't need to know. It's on you. And if you can love me through my mess, like you said, that's the part of servant leadership, because that's where God shines through. That's where the Christ in you shows up. It's easy to love somebody when they're winning. It's easy to love somebody when they're good and we can laugh and joke and play. But when that person is broken in 1,000 pieces and you can't fix it with money, you can't fix it with words, that's where the Christ in you shows up. Well, you need to remind them not to drift from him, but listen, this is a time we need to draw near.
Right.
That's golden, Coach. That's good, Coach. Man, I gotta thank you. I really do have to thank you. I know people say no, but I do, Coach, because
thank you. You minister to me today.
Likewise, I said this to Coach CY. I said this to many people. I feel like the gift of my obedience is being able to sit in a never-ending professional development that not only exceeds athletics, exceeds wisdom, but to be able to watch faith in action through so many instrumental servant leaders. And that, you could say no, coach. You could say no. That's what I tell anybody. You had a choice. You could have said no, but you were willing. And that's a blessing all in itself. So I have to thank you. I do. And you're welcome. But I thank you not only for coming on for today, but coach, just for your day to day, right? I watch how you infuse the flowers into the people that deserve it most. I watch how you are a change agent. You truly are, in just what you say and what you do. And in your day to day, it's not forced. It's not outside of your wheelhouse. It's the calling, right? Your calling to fulfill. And so I just want you to know that I see you. I noticed you a while ago. And so I'm thankful that you truly are a servant leader that is just adding to this frontline regime to move God's agenda forward.
Wow. Wow. Coach Chelsea, I'm really humbled by that. I can't wait to listen to this, because you really shared and talked about some things that really resonate with me. You know, as I look at my spiritual journey, discernment is a big part of my prayer life, that I be open to discerning what's good for me, what's not good for me, in my interactions. And for you to talk about that today and ask about that was really humbling. But I just can't, I think this platform is powerful. I think that we're in a day and age in a lot of different professions, but especially one as intimate and as this coaching thing is, and how people have to move in it, how competitive it is, that people they very rarely get an opportunity to really share about their faith and their spirituality. And what you're doing and allowing people to really open up and share that is powerful. Like I'm very humbled right now to just have had this opportunity to talk with you today and to have you pour into me, because you poured into me today. But I listened to your conversation with Bussy, and just the way that you ministered and poured into him and loved up on him. You know, Chelsea, you have a gift, and you have this platform is very special. And I want to continue to do whatever I can to support it and share it with other people. So I know it, I think I'm a part of the servant leader family now. Did I cross the burning sands? Did I cross the sands yet?
We're going to tagline you in. Yes, that typically comes after okay. The prayer. But yes, we're going to tagline you in for sure in there.
Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you.
I appreciate you, man, for sure. I'm humbled every day by people like you. So Thank you so much for that. Coach, you mind giving us a prayer before we get out?
Oh, man. I'd be honored. Whew. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come to you in prayer. Well, we just thank you for Coach Chelsea's heart, for her intention and willingness to want to help grow your kingdom through these leaders who are willing to serve at various levels with various groups, and allowing their light to shine to young people, to their families, their friends. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to engage with her today, to have her speak life over me, Mason, and just so many other people. I'm very humbled by this opportunity. I'm thankful that you provided this opportunity. I pray for Coach Chelsea and her family, and Hendricks, and all those that love and care for her. Lord, that you continue to keep her safe and protected. She continues to strive and do the work of sharing your message through your people. Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity. I pray that I can continue to stay connected to Coach Chelsea. And we thank you for all that she's doing to share your word throughout the sports ecosystem. We ask all these things in the name of your son. Amen.
Amen. Well, here it is. My favorite line of every podcast. Servant leader, how? Adams, you are now a part of the Servant Leader family. I'm telling you, man, every time honored. I say that, I feel like it's just, I just see this front line. I'm telling you, servant leaders, it's like, you don't want to run up on it. All right, we loaded, armed, and ready to go with the whole arm of God. So, but honestly, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. I tell anybody truly.
Thank you.
Not only servant leader family, but a part of my family. So anything that I can ever do for you, all you got to do is reach out, man.
I appreciate that, Coach Chelsea. Same to you. I can only imagine how blessed the young ladies that you have an opportunity to coach on. Wow. And how you love up women. I would love to, you got to do something with your kids. You got to do something with your kids. Like interview them or have somebody interview them.
Listen,
I'm sure you loving up on them jokers.
I do love them. They are something else. I do love up on them. Some say I spoil them too much, and that's okay too. But I'm you sure. may be on to something, because I know I would probably laugh the whole entire time. So you stay yes. tuned, because I may incorporate you in that. I may need you to be a guest host for that day.
I would love to.
I love it, man. Well, go get with Mason, man. I appreciate you so much. We appreciate you guys for listening, and we're going to see you guys next time.
Thank you, Coach Chelsea. God bless
Thank you. Thank you, man. God bless you.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.